Tonight's shiur is the third part of a series that we've been talking about in terms of the significance of what we call the tekiyas from Yushav and the tekiyas from Uma, the different sets of tekiyas that we blow. Now, one set of four Yosef that most of the Rishonim call the tekiyas from Yushav because Mikrei didn't want to sit for them. And then we blow the seventh that join Yosef, either the Farish, the Rosh Hashanah, whatever the different Nag Hamar, that's what's called the tekiyas from Uma. The Gemara tells us an interesting story that happened once concerning the tekiyas from Uma and the tekiyas from Yushav. The Gemara tells us a story about Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, for whatever reason, was having the Yechidus one year in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara doesn't tell us why. Maybe he was sick. And whatever happened, that's because he wasn't having the meeting that year in Rosh Hashanah. But when he got to Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, so he told the person who was helping us out, his Shamus, so he said to him, okay, let's pay careful attention. When I get to the bracha at the end of Malchias, so then you blow for me. When I get to the chesron, and then you blow for me, I get to shalom, you blow for me. In other words, what he was doing was mimicking what we always do in shul. And we always do that. Again, those who daven as chesvar, they do that both for the Sol and Shmoneh Esrei and for Chazal Tashas. Those who daven as Ashkenaz only do it for Chazal Tashas. But the idea of what's called blowing a seda brachas, of course, it's something we're all familiar with. The Rabbi Bashmuel tried to pull us that same idea when he was davening Yechidus. The Rabbi said, no. But that din that you blow a seda brachas, that you blow when you daven, you blow, you daven, you daven, when we do it in shul, you only do that in shul. You only do it when you have a minyan. You don't do that for Yechidus. So that was the machlokes between Rabbi Bashmuel and Rabbi. And of course, we know the final halacha is we pass along Rabbi. If a person didn't daven a minyan for whatever reason, so he does not hear the tzkiyas, I'll say that brachas. He davens and he has the tzkiyas, but it's not to combine together that unit that we're used to in terms of davening for a minyan. So it's interesting, you know, we see this Gemara from Rav Shmuel held one way, Rav held another way, so we don't put that much, emphasis on Rav Shmuel Shita, since it was immediately rejected by Rav, and nobody follows it in Lahalacha. But all of a sudden, it dawned on me literally 2 days ago, that when I was just looking over a little bit my Rekamos as to what's talking about tonight, so it dawned on me that the name of Papa Shmuel rang a bell in my mind, and the name Rav rang a bell in my mind also, that I've seen those two names together in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, in the Sugya of Tekiyas Shofar, just a couple of blot earlier, about 7 blot earlier, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Zayin. Lo and behold, the Gemara is talking about what seems to be a totally different topic, with the exact same people appearing. The Gemara there is commenting on the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah about what Tekiyas Shofar looked like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We spoke a little bit about this in some of the Sunday morning shiur in our shul earlier this year. The Mishnah that I didn't have, because it just came to me 2 days ago. So this is off the hot off the presses. So the Mishnah says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that when they blew shofar in the Beit HaMikdash, they would blow the shofar and the chatzotros simultaneously. They would blow the shofar, and they would also accompany the shofar with the blowing of the silver trumpet. That was something that was very common in the Beit HaMikdash, the myth of Kiyas Chatzotros for Pashas Balosa. So the Gemara says that was done in the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara has a whole sugi about that. How can you do that? No one's going to hear the shofar. You can't hear two things at the same time. But the Gemara explains that no, since everybody wants to hear the shofar, that's the mitzvah Sayom. That's the more important of the two mitzvahs in Rosh Hashanah. Well, therefore, people are going to pay special careful attention to the shofar, and even though there's a lot of noise coming from the chatzotros, there'll still be yotzei the mitzvah Tekiyas Shofar. The Gemara, the Mishnah relates that this is what they had Zvarim in the Beit HaMikdash, that they blew shofar and chatzotros together. The Gemara tells a story, also in Rosh Hashanah of Zion and Aleph, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, same person, Sabal and Mevin of the Kimastisin. He wanted to do it like they did in the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to do it the way it was described in the Mishnah. In his shul, he wanted to institute that they should blow shofar and chatzotros simultaneously. So lo and behold, Amalei Rava, the Amar of the Mikdash. Rava said to him, no, you only do that in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't do that in your regular shul. You're davening in the Tinek, so you only blow shofar, you don't blow chatzotros at the same time. So again, a machlokes between Rav Papa Bar Shmuel and Rava, and we don't give too much emphasis to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel because nobody passes with that. The Gemara rejected him outright. Who in the world blows chatzotros and shofar together in Rosh Hashanah? But we all know what we do. We follow Rav, and therefore we kind of forgot about Rav Bar Shmuel. But let's go back for a minute to what exactly Rav Bar Shmuel thought. He appears in two places in Rosh Hashanah with two seemingly strange shittas. They're strange because we don't follow them because they're not familiar with them. But shita number one was that you blow al seida brachas even the yechidus, and number two is that you blow shofar chatzotros together even chutzpah mikdash. And Rav disagreed with both of them. So what exactly was Rav Bar Shmuel driving at? Is there a deeper connection between these two shittas? So I think the answer is quite possibly that yes. There is a Ramban that we referred to at the end of the Shira last week, where the Ramban comments that the idea of blowing al seid ha-brachos perhaps is a little bit different than the regular mitzvah of kishofar. The mitzvah of kishofar, we hear it and we blew it for Muslim, for done, finished. If you don't hear anything al seid ha-brachos, you still will hear it from the Torah in the mitzvah of kishofar. What's the whole idea of blowing al seid ha-brachos? The Ramban says, because the idea is that shofar is a type of a tefillah, and you're supposed to accompany the shofar, supposed to accompany the brachas. It's supposed to be a unit, it's supposed to be a package deal. You approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu with the tefillah of the words and the tefillah of the shofar, and the two go hand in hand. And the Ramban even gives the moshul of Adav Adayim. Where do we find that there's such an idea that sounding an instrument somehow accompanies a tefillah? Because well, that's the midst of Chatzotzes. Chatzotzes is exactly that. The Torah says, you blow Chatzotzes, when you have a big tzara, you blow Chatzotzes. What are you blowing Chatzotzes? Well, just stop blowing Chatzotzes. But the Ramban explains, in other places, in Sefer Mitzvahs, that when the Torah says to blow Chatzotzes, when you have a Shas Lacham, you have a Shas Tzara, obviously that means you're going to be davening also. You're not just stop going to be making no notes, stop blowing trumpets for no purpose. The blowing of the trumpets is supposed to be accompanied to tefillah. It's supposed to be derech tefillah. That's what the Mitzvah Chatzotzes is. So now, says the Ramban, when we find that we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, the image that we're trying to create is, it's a type of a tefillah. That means the shofar and the tefillah go hand in hand. The two go hand in hand. We even say it in the davening, Shiyahu Eloh Kirlis, the shofar, Yahu the Rosal, the Kitei Kavod. We say, Shemeh Kol Truas Amito Barachamim. We always speak about Shemeh Tefillah Barachamim. What's about Shemeh Kol Truas Amito Barachamim? And the answer is that the Trua is also a gender of a tefillah. As we mentioned a little bit last week, that the Rav explains it's a tefillah without words. It's a different type of a tefillah. It's a tefillah from the deepest recesses of your heart. You can't even express exactly what you want. It's a total trusting of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we can't say the Ribbono Shel Olam. We davened already X, Y, and Z, and now we have nothing else to say. The Ribbono Shel Olam, here's the kolos, and you do with the kolos what you see fit. Whatever the machshava about that idea is, the idea clearly exists. The Ramban clearly expresses this idea. That's why we not to blow together with the Shemoneh Esrei. The whole idea of blowing, I say that brachas, is to express this idea that tefillah and tzkiyas go hand in hand. So the Chora, that's exactly what Rav Papa Bar Shmuel thought. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel thought it's inconceivable that a person should blow shofar and not daven together at the same time. How can you have the tzkiyas without a say that brachas? How can you get up and daven musa without your koyimus? It doesn't make a difference. Whether you're a yochid, whether you're a tzibah, it doesn't matter. It's impossible to conceive of davening Rosh Hashanah without the tzibah being accompanied by the koyimus. That was a Papa Shmuel Svara. He took that idea of the Ramban to its ultimate conclusion. It's an absolute necessity for kishofar and Rosh Hashanah and tzibah and Rosh Hashanah go hand in hand. Whether you're in shul or yochid, it doesn't make a difference. And Rav said to him, no. Rav said to him, this tzibah, this idea of blowing and davening together, this is not a chevet ha-yochid. This is not something that speaks to each individual. The yochid davens, and that's it. The yochid blows shofar, he doesn't have to combine the two together. This new kiyum that the Ramban is referring to, called Seidat Brachas, this idea that tefillas and tekiyas must go hand in hand, they have to go together with Shemayim, that's only a din by the tzibur. That's not a din by the yochid. That's what Rav explained to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. And now, Rav Papa Shmuel, the Shittasa, also said he was the biggest machim in this idea. He thought this is mamish, the fever of Rosh Hashanah. It's got to be kailas and psilas. It's got to go hand in hand. So, what's the mokra for this idea of going hand in hand? It's kias chatzaytzeres. That's gufa it. That's the whole point. The whole yisoy, the whole mokra for the Ramban, that kias shofar, the kibbutz psilas, comes from kias chatzaytzeres. So, Rav Papa Shmuel looked at the mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that speaks about blowing shofar and chatzaytzeres together. And Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, you have to do that. It's inconceivable any other way. How in the world could you get up to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah and not accompany the shofar with chatzotzes? If you don't accompany with chatzotzes, you're losing out this major dimension of tekiyas shofar. The whole kiyum of tekiyas shofar with tefillah isn't going to exist if you don't accompany with chatzotzes. And Rav said to him, that using of the chatzotzes to accompany the shofar, that's a beautiful idea of the mikdash. But chatzotzes and shofar will from the Melech Hashem. When you're in the base of Mikdash, then only then you blow chatzotzes to accompany the shofar. Outside of the Mikdash, shofar stands on its own. There's no kiyum, there's no mitzvah, there's no inyan whatsoever to accompany the chatzotzes. There are talks about Shmuel Lishitasai that he thought that shofar and tefillah must go hand in hand no matter what. Shofar and chatzotzes must go hand in hand no matter what. And Rav told him, we disagree with you on both of those traditions, on both of those he said. And what's Shad and Rav? Why was Rav so sure that these dinim, this halacha, this model is only either b'mikdash or b'tzibur. It doesn't apply b'yach, it doesn't apply chutz l'mikdash. But l'chor rava got his idea from the psukim itself. What did the psukim say in Parshas Balos? When the Torah introduces us to Parshas Chatzetzus, the Torah says you make Chatzetzus, you blow the Chatzetzus, which according to the Ramban, that's the Torah teaching us this idea of kelos and tzibus going hand in hand. The mocher is from Parshas Chatzetzus. The Torah puts the context of Chatzetzus in one of two contexts. The Torah says, when you blow Chatzetzus, you blow it, v'chitzavon l'chobah v'arz chem l'atzar ha-Torah. Then, the Ramban writes in earlier on in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that if you have a personal tzara, you don't blow Chatzetzus. You've never, lo shamana devas demay anyone. A person, if somebody's sick in a person's family, get them and blow Chatzetzus, never heard of such a thing. V'chitzavon l'chobah v'arz chem l'atzar ha-Torah means shach l'chobah. Shach l'chobah is not a personal tzara. Shach l'chobah is an example, the prototype, par excellence, of a tzaras harabim. When you have a tzaras harabim like Muhammad, the Gemara is married by the tzaras harabim, all kinds of tzaras harabim, if it's a famine, if it's a drought, whatever it is, as long as it has to be tzaras harabim. And the Maghreb Rami has done, it has to be a tzaras harabim in Eretz Yisrael, which also makes a lot of sense, because only the tzibur in Eretz Yisrael is a real, real rabim, is a real, real tzibur. Chutz Laaretz, there may be a lot of Jews, but we all have a status of yechidim. It's only called the tzibur of Klal Yisrael in the fullest sense of the word in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah says, you blow chatzaitzis where? When you have a tzibur, tzara says tzibur. And then the Torah says, what else do you blow chatzaitzis? You blow chatzaitzis with yom sim chatzim of muadechem, v'olosechem v'ashachashachem, v'olkat v'chatzaitzis v'olosechem v'azuchashonechem. You blow chatzaitzis by the Kabbalah, in the base of Mikdash. Chatzaitzis makes sense, either in the context of a tzara says tzibur, or in the context of base of Mikdash. Outside of the base of Mikdash, outside of the Inyani HaTzibur, so the whole model of Chatzaitzis doesn't get off the map. It's a different kind of a tefillah. The same way we find in the tefillah, the tefillahs are yachid, the tefillahs are tzibur, they're different kinds of tefillah. There's a whole different model of the tefillah. The Rabbi Bashmul didn't make that distinction. Rabbi Bashmul said, no, Chatzaitzis have to be there. And Rabbi Bashmul says, you have to have brachit and shayfim must go hand in hand. And Rabbi told him, neither one of those two halachos is correct. That those didn't are unique to mikdash, those didn't are unique to tefillah. So Kofanim, we of course pass in halacha like Rabbi. He's asking that nobody's going to blow shofar or say that brachit unless you're davening in the minyan. That wasn't really chatzaitzis, it's shofar, which was that was exactly because that was just a nevuah, you know, the shah, that they blew the shofar and then the wall came tumbling down. That was a different story. That wasn't really the mitzvah of kiyas chatzaitzis. Kiyas chatzaitzis means mamash with silver trumpets, doesn't mean blowing shofar. That which we pass in the halacha, that you dafka do not blow say that brachas when you're davening the yechidus, but what do you do? So the answer is, well, obviously you have to blow shofar, and obviously you have to daven lutzav. The chiddush of Rav was, you don't do them together. But what do? You do them separately. Which one comes first? The Rashi has a comment on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi writes that about the yechid, v'varach es kula v'chakach tekeat teish etzkiyat. The Rashi writes that when it comes to a yechid, first you daven lutzav. When you don't look for then okay, you finish having looks for then and only then you begin to blow the shofar. So the Chorah, that's a little bit strange. Why Rashi goes out of his way, he's already telling me the order to do things. If I would have guessed what the order should be, I would have guessed that the Kish Shofar should come first. First of all, the Kish Shofar, the Chorah is more important of the two. The Kish Shofar is a real bona fide mitzvah of the Araisa. Look over the Kish Shofar should come first. The Vilna Gaon points out in his comments on, in Shulchan Aruch, there's another reason why the Kish Shofar perhaps should come first. But the Gemara says that one of the aspects of the Kishofa is the Arvavis HaSotan. And whatever that means, we spoke about in the past, that somebody you want to get the Sotan out of the picture when you're talking to the Rabban Shalom and Rosh Hashanah. So it makes a lot of sense to blow the Shofa before you daven. You want to get the Sotan out of the picture before you daven. The daven is, no pun in this, you're really daven, and now an hour later you blow Shofa, you lose out that team of the Arvavis HaSotan. But whether you go with a pure halakhic consideration that Kishofa is in a sense a more important mitzvah, before you go with the Grud, quasi-machshava consideration, I would have said that the order should be reversed. I would have said that it makes more sense to blow first, which is in fact what the Ramah writes. The Ramah and Archaim and Tzimun Tzadi Beis writes that token of Kodesh is followable. So the Ramah says that the more correct thing to do is not to follow the Shittas Rashi. You should not blow shofar first rather than davening first. So what's shot exactly in Shittas Rashi? Kodesh Rashi is really a teller. Why in the world? You want to tell me there's no order, do whatever you want. Okay, I can hear that. But if you're already putting a order, you're already putting some kind of a significance of the order, The more correct order would be to kishofer to precede davening. But why in the world does Rashi say that you have to daven dafka before you go shofar? So perhaps this idea of Rashi is really part of a whole general picture that Rashi has, because Rashi's holding a very, very unique understanding of the relationship between kishofer and the brachas. We already saw from the Ramban that there's a certain dimension of relationship. The Ramban emphasized the idea of shofar and tefillah basically complementing one another in the sense of hilchos tefillah. But Rashi seems to have a very, very different picture as to what that relationship of shofar and the davening musaf is all about. So the Mishnah in Masechet Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel delineates exactly how many tekiyas a person has to blow in Rosh Hashanah. We quote this before Midah Raita. The Torah uses the word truah three times, twice for Rosh Hashanah and once for Yom Tov. So the Torah Shemapet tells us you have to blow three truahs, and the Torah Shemapet explains that each truah has to be preceded by a tekiyah and followed by a tekiyah. That's where the whole notion of blowing nine and nine kolos comes from. And that nine kolos turns into a lot more because we're not sure what a true is, and then we blow twice and everything, and then a sister got thrown into the picture, so we end up with 100 kolos. So, but those are, that it took a long, long time for that to reach that point. The basic bits of the rice, the shofar is very clear, is a sholosh, sholosh, sholosh. We blow three times of a seder of tkiya, true of tkiya, then we're not sure what the true is, so that translates a little bit more, but if you knew what the true was, then you would just blow tkiya, true of tkiya, tkiya, true of tkiya, 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 that's it, nine kolos. That's what the Mishnah records. And the Mishnah, in Hatanah Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel, records the basic mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. It highlights the fact that you have to blow, say the tkiyah shalosh, shalosh, shalosh. Three sets, and each set is made with three kolos. The Rashi on the spot of the Mishnah has a very startling statement. Rashi writes in that Mishnah, achas the malchias, b'achas the zichronos, b'achas the shofar. Rashi said that why are you blowing three sets of tkiyos? One for malchias, one for zichronos, one for shofar. If I was writing a parish on the Mishnah, I wouldn't have said that. That's not why you're blowing three sets. You're blowing three sets because the Torah said to blow three sets. It happens to be nice and convenient that, oh, it's how nice it is that there are three brachas and there are three sets. So let's take one set per bracha. But the reason why you're blowing the three sets is not because of Malchus, Brachus, and Joseph. The Rashi is going a little bit historically, at a certain time, a little bit backwards. Rashi explains the din deraisa of shalosh shalosh shalosh. The Mishnah is recording the din deraisa of shalosh shalosh shalosh. And Rashi said, well, by the way, the reason why we have shalosh 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 is because of machi zichros and shofar. That's the chlop, not the reason. That's an afterthought. To take mashal mal David Noam, if you ask most kids, and maybe a lot of grown-ups also, why we have three machos at the Seder, the most people will tell you one is Kohen, one is for Levi, one for Yisrael. So that is not true. That is not the reason why we have three masters. The reason why we have three masters, the Rishonim write in Avraham Sachem, those Rishonim will say you need three masters. Not everyone agrees to that. For those Rishonim say you need three, the Rashi Bible says you need three masters. There's a very, very simple calculation. You need two for Lechem Mishnah, like any other Yadav. But then the halacha is you have to break a master to fulfill the din of Lechem Oni. So if you're going to break one of your two masters, you're not going to have Lechem Mishnah. You're going to be stuck with one and a half masters. So therefore, the Rashi Bible says you have to throw a third master for good luck. So you have to start off with three masters. That way you can break one to the full Lechem Oni, and you still got your original Lechem Mishnah left. That's the reason for the three masters. So the Rambam happens to disagree with that. The Rambam says, Yitaka, don't start off with three masters, because the Rambam holds that the Din of Lechem Oni supersedes the Din of Lechem Mishnah. So the Din of Lechem Oni redefines Lechem Mishnah to say this. You start off with two masters, and your daf could break one of them. That's the Din of Lechem Oni. According to Rashbab, you're breaking a superfluous master. The Rambam says that's not called Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni means you take that master that would normally be whole. On your regular Friday night, you'd have a whole master, a whole challah, and you break that in half. That's Lechem Oni. So again, that's a machlokes in Rashbab and the Rambam. What exactly, how many masters do you have? But the reason why you have three masters has nothing to do with Kohen Levi and Yisrael. Afterwards, somebody came up with this great idea. Well, we have three masters, and a nice, cute way to put little crabs in the master cover. One for Kohen, one for Levi, one for Yisrael. It's Eddie Rishon already gave us three masters, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. It's a nice way to remember you have three masters, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. But not because for some deep dark secret, Chazal instituted three masters because of Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. So Rashi seems at first glance to be in violation of that same kind of an idea. That Rashi is explaining to us, why is it that you blow three sets of truas, three sets of tkiyas? Because of the Machiz Chazal and Shofar. That's not the reason why. The reason is because the Torah said truas three times. And it happened to fit a knife, then we could stick it in and connect it, so to speak, after the fact, we connect it to the existence of the three brachas. So what's the pshat and shit situation? So this is not the only somewhat strange thing that Rashi says about the relationship between the tkiyas and the brachas. Rashi and the Torah has another starting statement. To say Rashi and Parshas Emor writes in the Pasuk different truah. When the Torah says you blow shof, the Torah says in Parshas Emor zichron truah. In one place the Torah says yom truah, in one place it says zichron truah. So Rashi says, what does the phrase zichron truah mean? Rashi says it means zichron psukei zichronus psukei shofers. Lisko lechem akeri zitzach shekarb tach of ayil. Rashi says zichron true means to say the psukim of zichronus and to say the psukim of shofers. That's what zichron true means. Rashi is writing a pshat on chumash. Rashi is trying to give you a pshat on what the psukim of chumash means. What is zichron true? Doesn't mean that. The whole idea of saying machis zichronus and shofers, that was instituted by the rabbanon. It's a mitzvah of the rabbanon. How many Muslims the rabbanon? What does Rashi stick into the pasuk of zichron true? The idea of machis zichronus and shofers. So it sounds like Rashi is saying something very, very interesting. It sounds like Rashi is saying something that we didn't fit. It sounds like we were working, we're bothered with both of these Rashis because we're thinking in a certain historical framework. We're thinking Kishofer came first, because Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the mitzvah of Kishofer. And later in history, at some point, the Chachamim instituted Malchus, Chachamim, and Shofar, instituted Avi Musaf, and then they decided to stick the two together. So if that's your historical view of Rosh Hashanah, so then the two Rashis don't make any sense. So clearly Rashi didn't understand. So clearly Rashi understood that Malchus, Chachamim, and Shofar is not a Takkanah of Chachamim. Malchus, Chachamim, and Shofar is Mamash and Mitzvah Deraisa. It's a real Din Deraisa. And what's the Malchus? Where does it come from? That's what the word Zichron means. Why does the Torah say Zichron Shua? Because the Torah wanted to tell us to blow shofar. It should have said blow shofar. It should have said Yom Shua Yelachem, like the Taka said in Parshas Finchas. So why does the Torah change the nuance of Parshas Emorim and present the same mitzvah as a Zichron Shua? What's the difference between Yom Shua and Zichron Shua? So the answer of Rashi says very, very simple. Yom Shua means blow the shofar, and Zichron Shua means talk about the shofar. Okay? It's two different thoughts. It's two different cues, two different halachas. That's what Zichron Shua means. That's what Rashi is giving you is Peirush on Chumash. Rashi is not telling you that Din the Rabbanon is sticking onto the latching onto the pasuk of Chumash. Rashi is giving you tights in the pasuk. Rashi says when you read this pasuk in Parshas Emor, Zichron Shua Mikra Kedesh, and you want to know what tights, what does the word mean? What Zichron Shua means, you're going to show them to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the official authentic translation. Say Psukim Umachi Zichron Shua Mikra Kedesh. That's what Zichron Shua means. Now when Rashi in the Mishnah in Sechta Shoshana said that, why are you blowing three sets? Because the Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofar, Rashi is not mixing and mashing historically. Rashi is telling you this is all part of the same halacha. The reason why the Torah gave three truas is because the Torah gave it three brachas. It's the Rebbe Shlomo gave it the three brachas, not the Chacham who made it up. The Rebbe Shlomo said, it doesn't mean that the Rebbe Shlomo gave Moshe Rabbeinu the text of Alkei Nekabel Chashem Akeinu, the text is Midr Abbatan. It means the Chacham came up with a Nusach Tatfilah. But the idea, the notion of davening for these three things in Rosh Hashanah, it's as old as the hills. It goes all the way back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, back to Mishnah Matan Torah. And it's all derived from this pasuk of Zichron and Shua. So Rashi had no qualms of mixing and mashing the two by saying Zichron Shua means these three psukim. And say that here, Shal refers to these three brachas. It's not two different things. It's not one derived to one derived. It's not which one derived. So this seems to be what Rashi is right. Yeah. The problem with this Rashi is that it seems to be against the Gemara. Ramban in his Perish Ala Torah in Parshas Emor points out that there's a Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that's almost verbatim against this, Kimat Beferish against this Rashi. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara is talking about the following scenario. A guy realizes that he's stuck. He's lived out in some village somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and nobody knows how to look shofar where he is, nobody knows how to tell him where he is, he's stuck. But the good news is that there's a town not all that far away, which has a shofar and a good Balkikea, and there's a town on the other side, which has a great chazan who will be able to be mighty in Mishmar Esrei, but nothing, there's no shofar in that town. But now he's in a pickle. He's got to figure out which town to go. He can't go to both. Wherever he's going to make it, it's not going to work out. He's not going to be able to make it to both. So he's got to pick now which one should he go. Should he go to the place where there's a shofar, or should he go to the place where there's where Lo Davin Musaf. So the Gemara said it is obvious that he goes to where the shofar is. Nobody ever would question that he goes to where the shofar is. Why is that? Shofar is the mitzvah deraisa, and the machzor of shofar is the mitzvah rabbanon. You have a choice between doing a mitzvah deraisa and mitzvah rabbanon. Obviously, you opt for the mitzvah deraisa. The Gemara says, hands down, you go to hear the shofar. But had deraisa, had rabbanon. So the Ramban asked against Rashi, you didn't even tell me that the malchus of zichron and shofar is deraisa. Davening musaf and Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvah deraisa derived from zichron trua. Why does the Gemara know that zichron trua is less of a mitzvah than yom trua? According to Rashi, there are two different mitzvahs. Parshas Pinchas speaks about Yom Tshuva about blowing the shofar. Parshas Emor speaks about Zichron Tshuva about saying the psukim. Why is one greater than the other? Why do you say so pshita? Had the right, had the abundant. That's like telling a guy, either Sheikh Mulva eating the sukkah. So How do you know which is more important? So you have to figure out. Maybe the Rikul, maybe choose whichever one you want. But such a pshita, hadir aisa, hadir abonim, are true. Hadir abonim, the machin of the shovin is mamash der aisa. So what's pshat and cheetah's Rashi? We built up this grandiose pshat and Rashi that machin of the shovin is der aisa. All the Rashis and Shas and the Chumash bear this idea out. But the Rambam says it's a nice idea, but it's against the Gemara. The Gemara calls the machin of the shovin is der abonim. So it's set up, all the Echrem say over pretty much the same idea. Everyone in their own signal, their own nusach. But the basic idea is as follows. That Rashi Shita clearly is that if and when you blow shofar, then the Malchus Zechos and Shofar becomes your Aisa. If you're not blowing shofar, for whatever reason, you don't have a shofar, you're out of town, it's Shabbat, whatever, Tachlis, you're not blowing the shofar, then the Malchus Zechos and Shofar are not with their Aisa. Then and only then are they a bottle like any other Muslim. This Kiyum of Zichron Trua is not an independent Kiyum. It's not like we said Sukkah and Lulav. That was a bad motion. Either the sukkah, whether you have a lulav, and you shake a lulav, whether you have a sukkah or not. They're two separate mitzvahs that happen to both take place on sukkahs, but they're not related to one another. The mitzvah of saying the psukim is not a separate, independent mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of shofar. If and when you blow the shofar, then the Torah says there's a kiyum, there's a raisa to say psukim, machas, teras, and shofar. If for whatever reason you're not blowing the shofar, that kiyum doesn't exist. Zichron Trua is not an independent mitzvah. Zichron Trua is part, is an enhancement of the mitzvah of Yom Trua. If you have a shofar, then wonderful. Then the davening is deraita. If you don't have a shofar, then the davening is not deraita. So what is it? It's like any other davening on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So with the Rabbanan, they were misakhin, you need 9 brachas. With the regular Yom Tov, you daven 7 brachas. And Rosh Hashanah, they were misakhin 9 brachas. But for the person who doesn't have the shofar, the davening must have done with the Rabbanan. So that's what the Gemara says here. Have deraita, have the Rabbanan. If you're going to go to the town which has the shofar, at least you'll get a mitzvah deraita. True, you won't get a fish like Musa, but what can you do? At least you get a deraisa. If you opt to go to the town which only has the brachas, only has the mutar, only has the makshila, then you're going to get nothing with deraisa. Because mutar on its own is not a deraisa. For that town which is missing the shofar, it's not a deraisa, a derabanan. For that town, it's not a derabanan. So this is pretty much all the achrayim say the same idea. What's the nature, though, of this connection? Kind of a key, kind of a strange thing is this, that on a level of deraisa, zichron trua, it's not a separateness, it's not like the sukkah rule of Moshe. There's the mitzvah to blow shofar. That's the mitzvah Yom Tzura. And then the Torah says, by the way, for good luck, if you're already blowing shofar, then daven also. That's a din d'araita. That's the tkiyah shofar. It's when the tkiyah shofar exists, so then it shrubs from all the machas, the chas, the shofars, elevates them to be a d'araita. What kind of halacha is that? What's the nature of that din? So I heard many, many years ago when I was in high school that a rabbi, there was a Mordechai Marcus, Adam Gadol, he's a rabbi in Brooklyn now. So I remember this many years ago, he said the following, he said, there is a mishnah that says at the end of Masechet Tzachim, the kosher omash l'shadvar v'pesach v'yotzei dechavotzei. If a person didn't say these three things, he wasn't yet say his mitzvah. What do you mean he wasn't yet to what mitzvah? Unclear what Rav Gamliel means, l'yotzei dechavotzei of what? Which chavotzei is he talking about? So there's machlekes in Rishayim, what chavotzei the Rav Gamliel was referring to. We get so excited to say that we bring everybody in, make sure everyone understands it. We're not even sure to translate the phrase. What does it mean, Layosi and Dechova? Which chayyim was it? So the Rambam writes, he wasn't Yaitis Tipur, it's just Mitzrayim. The Rambam holds that just telling over the story is not enough. You have to talk about the mitzvahs also. The other Rishayim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam and Tayyusis don't seem to learn that shot. They seem to learn Layosi and Dechova means you want Yaitis the mitzvah of Pesach Matamorah. Tipur, it's just Mitzrayim. I said, I'm Odom Ayinu. I sang Dayenu. Yaitis finished. The Kosh Lo'omish Lo'shadvam, Layosi and Dechova means I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Achilles Matzah. I didn't fulfill more. I didn't fulfill Pesach. But I didn't fulfill. I ate the matzah. I didn't loyot to dechavata. So the Ran writes, loyot to dechavata means you weren't yet to lechatchila. That means there's a mitzvah lechatchila to accompany the matzah with the speaking about the matzah. There's a mitzvah lechatchila to accompany the coming Pesach tomorrow with the speaking about the Pesach matzah tomorrow. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. That's the tzuris, a mitzvah with the araisa, not with the rabbana. The ma'atim zevech Pesach. That's the poter when Gamliel quotes. The Torah is telling me there's a mitzvah shibbutz is mitzrayim. That's a separate, totally separate mitzvah. That I was ready to manashan as loyter that 20 minutes ago. When I get there, I'm really oimer. I'm trying to accomplish something totally different. I'm trying to add a dimension of kiyum to the Pesach Matzah tomorrow. What is it? What dimension of kiyum am I adding? And the answer is I'm talking about. I'm explaining why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's what Matzah Zevach Pesach means. Don't just eat the matzah. Talk about why you're eating the matzah. So this is why I'm eating the matzah. Why are you eating the matzah? Because of matzah shana ochlim da 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 da. Why are you eating the pesach? Why are you eating the maror? Because of da 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 da. The same Rabbi Gamliel immediately perceived the ma'isa mitzvah because the whole goal of Rabbi Gamliel is to explain what I'm about to do. So before you do it, explain. Make sure everyone, make sure you yourself understand what you're doing. And that's a mitzvah that they're right. So most mitzvahs, you don't have this component. Most mitzvahs, you do the mitzvah finish. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You understand the reason. You want to understand the reason. You learn to have anything. Hope for a good reason. But these mitzvahs, the Torah said, v'madam zevach pesach, that it's not enough just to do the ma'aseh mitzvah. If you really want to fulfill the mitzvah, b'shleimusa, and it's complete fulfillment on a level of the deraisa, then you have to precede the mitzvah by speaking about the mitzvah. And what do you have to speak about after the tamar mitzvah? So, as Rabbi Meiner remarks, he said, he put the exact same moshel is true when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiyas Shofar. The Torah says, Yom Tri Yaluchem, so that's like the idiot of the ma'aseh. Zichra Trua, that's like the ma'aseh mitzvah pesach. Zichra Trua means the Torah is telling us, don't just blow the shofar, but before you blow the shofar, the context of blowing the shofar, make sure that you talk about the shofar. Speak about why you're blowing the shofar. The top of why you're blowing the shofar. Shofar is there, to paraphrase the wheel. Shofar is there, tokim ashuma. What are we blowing the shofar for? What's the purpose of blowing the shofar? So that's what we explain away in an avening. We say, the malchios, we're blowing the shofar to the imam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're blowing the zichronis, the hal zichroninu, we're blowing the hal zichroninu. We're blowing the shofar to remember the shofar is done by the Rasina, the Mashiach, the Mitzvah, whatever the different components of shofar is. The psukim that we say, the tefillahs, the brachas that we say, are the tam hadover for tekiyah shofar. It's exactly the same. It's mamish parallel to matza. First you say v'matza zvach pesach, you say ravulah omer, then you sit down, you eat your matza and your mor. It's not a mikdash, you pay sech matza mor. So that's exactly what we do also. We explain what we're doing. We blow, we say what we're doing, so it's the English Shemoneh Esrei, we dive in the Malchus, 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 we get to the end of the Bracha Malchus, and then we blow, we explain what we did, and now we do it. Then we explain the Zichronis, and then we do it. We explain the Shofar, and then we do it. That's exactly what we're doing. The Mamash Shemoneh Esrei, the middle of Shul, that's exactly what we're doing. The Mamash, the exact same Moshul, the same model that we do at the Leil HaSeder. So now the Gemara gets into trouble, because the Gemara said that the mitzvah of Amurim, that you could do such a stunt that you blow Mamash off Seyed HaBrachis, that's only B'tzibur. B'tzibur Amur V'lo B'yachid, that was Rav Chiddush, again to Papa B'Shmuel, but you can't pull off that perfect model, the B'yachidus, because that whole idea of doing it Mamash V'asachat only makes sense B'tzibur, like Chatzaitis, as we spoke about before. So now what do you do? So you're B'yachidus. So I know I'm going to have to blow, and I know I'm going to have to daven. What should I do first? Should I daven first or should I blow first? So we thought, blow first is the more important mitzvah. Blow first, obviously something. No, but Rashi, the opposite is true. Daven first. You should daven first, because if you daven first, the varach is kula and the chagach tekeya. First you say over all the reasons, and then you do the mitzvah. I would have liked to do it for Papa Shmuel said. I really would have liked to daven malchias and blow malchias. Daven zichronis, blow zichronis, etc. You can't do that, because the seder brachas only makes sense, ketziba not piyochis. So the next best thing to do is daven the whole Shemoneh Esrei, right? Finish every hakamikoko, and once you explained, you expounded upon all the reasons, you said the complete machzeres and shofar. Sure, now you're done. Now it's done. Eat the matzah. Now it's done to blow the shofar. So it's mamshainu hachach. It's the exact same mushal as you find in the Leil HaSeder. So all the pieces of the puzzle of Rashi make sense. Three Rashi little shittos. Rashi put into the puzzle of Nichon Trua the idea of saying machzeres and shofar. It's mamish deraisa. Not there a bundle like there about it. Mamish deraisa when accompanied by the shofar. When Rashi explains why do we have three sedarim, what are the three different kolos? Because there are three different themes of Kishofa. Kishofa has three themes on the level of the Araita. And then when you have to decide what to do first, the Taka makes a lot of sense what to do first. But it only means to do the davening first. But it only makes sense to call the reasons of the Araita if you're doing the shofar. Because the following mashal was ever done. Imagine a guy sits down for the stage and he doesn't have any matzah. So would we say there's a mitzvah the Araisa to talk about the matzah? For what? What are you talking about? You're not going to eat the matzah anyway. According to the Rambam, who says you have to talk about the matzah, that's part of secrecy and time. Okay, that I can understand. But according to Taiz and Iran, that talking about the matzah is the enhancement of the matzah, but I don't have the matzah, so what am I doing? So we're looking at if it's not as there, the only kiyum the Araisa we have is matzah, so the only part of our rule that shows the Araisa is the matzah part. We throw in for good luck, we talk about the case for tomorrow also, because we're trying to mimic whatever, we're trying to remember whatever we can from the day to make the mikdash. But midrabanan, we talk about tomorrow also, to eating more midrabanan, we talk about it also. We make a zeich l'teisach, so we talk about that also. But the only real kiyum deraisa that we have from the Ram Gulilei Omer is only the masa, because only masa zush anu oichlim, that's what the words say. Masa zush anu oichlim al shuma. Kiya zush, shokadash anu token al shuma. If and when you're blowing the shofar, then the speaking is deraisa. That's the Rashi's shita is that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah where the guy has two cities and it's either or, so Hadi Raisa, Hadi Rabbanan. So the guy who's not going to blow the shofar, talk to the davening, he's going to be the Rabbanan. That's what the Gemara says. If you have a choice between only a shofar, which is a deraisa on its own merit, the contrast of davening, which is only a deraisa, only becomes deraisa in the contrast of the shofar, that's exactly what the Gemara says. Chita, Hadi Raisa, Hadi Rabbanan. It's a full fun. It appears that all the pieces of the puzzle fit in. All the Rashi is going to shita. And again, this is a running question as to what exactly is this relationship between the tkiyas and the brass. Okay, very good. Musaf is taught, but the special kiyum is not really taught there. So now you have multiple considerations. So, but it could, right? So you mean the Vilna Gaon was assuming that some of the Arvish HaSot and that Svara overrides the Klal of Tadir. Because that, why actually, I would have said that the Deraisa comes before the Derabanan, but the Tolkien can point out that there may not be such a Klal, Deraisa before the Derabanan. There may not be an absolute Klal. Right. That's where the Raya is of Shari. Right, that's the Raya of Shari Tari. Right. Shari Tari bring the Raya from that Sugim Tzachim that I would have thought that Deraisa beat out the Derabanans. But there's another part called Kol Kudish Mechaber. You have two Karbanas, one holier than the other. So you bring the holy one first. So Shagat Ari asked, why isn't every Deraisa more Chosher than a Derabanan? Because it's more Mekudosh. So Shagat Ari says, because the Klal of Kedima only makes sense when you have two mitzvahs to do. So you have two mitzvahs to do, then Kedima tells you which one is more important. What if I want to do a mitzvah and a Dabar Rishon? I can do the Dabar Rishon before the mitzvah. There's no din that you have to do a Dabar Rishon mitzvah before the Dabar Rishon. So Shagat Ari says, on the love of Deraisa, the mitzvah Derabanan, it doesn't exist. Mr. Drabon is a Tavash Orisha. That's the lumbus behind that. Whatever it is. It's interesting. Okay.